Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. Many are asking what might be the significance of the election of Pope John Paul II, who hails from the communist country of Poland. Mary McGrory, commentator and columnist for the Washington Star, called the election of a non-Italian a staggering change. If Pope John Paul I was the Pope of surprise, Pope John Paul II is the Pope of shock, she noted. The death of Pope John Paul I, after only 34 days as leader of the world's 700 million Roman Catholics, was also a shocking development. So was the death of Russian Archbishop Nikodim, who died while having an audience with Pope John Paul I. Nikodim, one of the six presidents of the World Council of Churches, had just conveyed his congratulations to Pope John Paul I when he slumped in his chair in the pontiff's private library. Evangelist Billy Graham, completing his second crusade in Poland, said there are dramatic changes taking place behind the Iron Curtain. Said Graham, "I am convinced that there are changes taking place within the countries of Eastern Europe as they discover that those who are true followers of Jesus Christ are seeking to be loyal and constructive citizens and workers." Well, from East Germany comes word of an agreement reached between Protestant church leaders and the head of state, Communist Party Chief Ulrich Honecker. For the first time, Protestant pastors will be allowed to hold services and talk to inmates in East German prisons. The church has also been granted airtime once a month on radio and on special occasions on television. And the state has promised to put pressure on local authorities to allow the building of churches in new residential areas. Among other agreements, church sources say, the state will be more generous in allowing the importation of religious literature. Church leaders hope for a new era of coexistence between Christians and communists, who are often zealously anti-God and anti-church. Today we might ask, what about the church in America? What about the future of the church everywhere? Of this we can be sure. Our Lord declared the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, which he himself founded. Though we see much persecution abroad, with the church having gone underground in many communist lands, yet we see the purposes of God being fulfilled. For it is often in the midst of persecution God perfects his people. His ultimate objective is that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Well, pollster George Gallup sees the organized church in America as under attack. Here are his comments.
First of all, organized religion is under severe indictment in certain basic respects. For example, large majorities of the unchurched feel that the church has lost its spiritual emphasis and does not help in terms of giving people help in regarding meaning in life. And of great significance, many of these criticisms offered by the unchurched are shared by the churched as well. Such criticism, therefore, can be expected to lead others to leave the church in the months and years ahead. The proportion to say that religion is important in their lives has dropped dramatically since the earlier surveys. Since we find that beliefs have remained stable, it is inferred that the decline is related primarily to organized religion and to the structured church.
What about the future of evangelism in this country?
Evangelism is going to have rough sledding in this country, for sure. However, maybe all that some churches need to do is to invite people to come. Now, we find that 1 in 5 say that they picked the church or synagogue they did because somebody asked them to come there. So it's a very, very key area. The churches should contribute to strengthening the family unit. Both church, the church and unchurched, and people of all ages place high importance on the need to strengthen family ties. Churches should perhaps increase their efforts to bring parents and children together in worship in the home and in the churches. Perhaps there is need to reevaluate the program of religious education. In fact, Sunday school appears to be producing almost as many unchurched as churched.
What are the prospects of those leaving the church of bringing them back into the community of active believers?
Well, these figures are very tentative, of course, and they are based on what people themselves say. But nevertheless, they're very interesting indeed. We find that if you put those who say they might definitely come back, possibly come back, or probably come back, you put all those groups together, you have 52%, or half of the unchurched, saying that they perhaps could be brought back into the community of active believers. This figure of 52%, which is roughly half of the total unchurched, projects to 20 million unchurched.
Well, George Gallup, Jr., and a report on the organized church today. Well, today we'd like to discuss some of the threats facing the church. U.S. News and World Report has stated, experts agree that the social upheaval of recent years and personal frustrations, inflation, and domestic and international security combine to provide a climate in which both old-time and new faiths flourish. While the old-time religion is that of simple faith in Jesus Christ as the only Savior and Lord who forgives sin and gives eternal life, the new so-called faiths include mysticism and even witchcraft. As this magazine goes on to relate, not all seekers of spiritual fulfillment are looking to Christianity. Zen Buddhism, yoga, transcendental meditation, the Krishna Consciousness Society, and other movements are drawing great followings. Besides, there are believers in witchcraft, spiritualism, astrology, and even Satan worship. But these are not the threats we wish to discuss today. The first threat to the true Church of Jesus Christ we like to mention is found in 2 Timothy 3:5, where we read of those having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Where the church has become formal and ritualistic, it has failed to meet the needs of the people. That's why the churches today that are getting the crowds are those where lively gospel songs are sung rather than opera-type anthems, where there might be an occasional hand-clapping or an amen without expecting an usher to escort you to the door. Dave Wilkerson, in speaking to the National Association of Evangelicals, noted traditional churches are not reaching the youth. He chided the church for its coldness and inactivity. Well, the scriptures describe the church of the end time as lukewarm, as rich, increased with goods, having need of nothing. Don Norbert in Interest magazine writes, "Some have said concerning today's youth, they reject certain things that mark the religious establishment. Big elaborate church buildings are out. What a waste," he notes. "Very proper, structured services should be junked. What a drag. The smug materials of affluent Christendom is rejected. Thousands have never heard the gospel, and we dare drive luxury cars," he notes. "The complacency of attending church meetings with little concern for the lost is condemned. God help us to realize that people are on their way to hell." Another threat to the Church of Jesus Christ is merely seeking to entertain. The scriptures again warn that in the last days, there will be those who are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. While it may be true that every time the church doors open, there need not be a sermon delivered or a Bible lesson taught, it is wholesome for young people to have a place to meet where they can enjoy a time of spiritual refreshment, so long as they remember whatever they do to the glory of God. Notice what the prophet Ezekiel writes concerning the abominations that he saw in his day, which we are seeing in evidence today. He writes of those who say, "Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." Then listen to this. "Lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not." Ah, did you hear it? Some of you will be surprised to know that scripture is in the Bible. But too many times we come to services in our churches to enjoy the music or be entertained or hear some jokes told by the preacher, rather than to hear the word of the Lord, to hear from heaven. Now the church is serious business, my friends. To hear the message and not heed it, said Jesus, is like a man which built his house upon the sand, and the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. On the other hand, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, said Jesus, and doeth them, I liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. The foundation of our Christian faith must include obedience. The superstructure of the Church of Jesus Christ is based not only on belief, which includes correct doctrine, but on discipleship, forsaking all to follow Jesus. Another threat to the Church of Jesus Christ is that of making it a business enterprise, rather than to make the salvation of souls the business of the church. The scriptures speak of those who teach and preach for filthy lucre's sake. How sad it will be for any ministry that has as its goal getting gain rather than saving souls. How it behooves us to use funds entrusted to us wisely. In fact, we read, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It is not something optional as to what we do with our money. It's a requirement that we invest our time, our talents, our money wisely in the Lord's service. God does not condone deceit or dishonesty, particularly as it relates to the ministry. In Jeremiah 48:10 we read, cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. Indeed, how careful we must be where we invest the Lord's money, knowing we must give an account of our stewardship. Then, too, how wonderful it will be when we stand before the Lord to know we had sought to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and giving of our time and talents to His cause. It will be worth every investment we've made to hear our Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Are you a faithful servant? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Would you be ready were he to come yet today? These are questions worth pondering and which deserve an answer. Now receive Christ as your Savior and Lord, and live for him daily, and be ready when he comes. For he hath said, be therefore ready also, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the Internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.